Dark Wraith Publishing presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, Academic Lectures in Business and Economics. This is Business Finance, FIL 240, Section 2 for Autumn Semester 2013. Lecture 25, delivered on December 4, 2013. The title of this lecture is Review for the Final Exam.
Today, review for the final exam. It is organized like the two midterms. It's just a bigger version. There's a part one, a part two, and a part three. Part one is 30 questions, multiple choice. Some of them are exactly questions from the two exams. Many of them are, if they're not exact, they're just a variation on a question. There probably wouldn't be more than 5 to 8 of them that would be something you hadn't seen before, if that many. They are review questions. The final is my review of what you have learned in this class. So I'm not going to throw anything new or wildly out of sync from what you've seen before. As far as the questions go, I'll take the questions that were either much closer to objectives of the course, or the ones that you most of you missed, and I'll try to give you another chance to show me that you know the answers to them. And we'll go back through this again in more detail. Part two is workout questions. These are questions that you have seen on the two exams. Not the same numbers, for God's sake, I'm not stupid, but they're the same types of questions. And on Tuesday night, you will have a final narrative so that you will have the information for a couple of the questions that will be on the final. Specifically, about the questions that are on part two, I am obviously going to ask you to do a marginal cost of capital calculation to find out what projects a company should take on. Same deal as I did on exam two. It's the same thing. You just have to know how to do your component cost of capital, your breakpoints, your marginal cost of capital, and your IOS MCC graph. Same thing. And it'll be the same number of breakpoints too. I could throw in more tiers of more jumps in the borrowing, but it's the same number of jumps in the borrowing, just one jump. Number two, I'm going to have you do a bond calculation. I'm going to have you give me a quote. And remember, a quote, not a dollar, a quote. Don't put a dollar sign in front of a quote. It's just a number. I'm going to have you do a quote. I'm going to have you find a yield to maturity, and I'm going to have you find a yield to call, exactly like I did on the exam. Nothing new in this. I'm going to have you find the price of a stock. I'll give you the information necessary to apply the CAPM to get the discount rate, which you will then use to calculate the stock price. Remember the D1 over the quantity P minus K minus G. And don't forget to use D1. If I give you D0, the current dividend, you have to grow it a period to do that. Again, just like you've seen on an exam. I'm going to have you find a payment on a loan. Again, just like you did on an exam. A payment on a loan, most loans are 12-month loans. You know, like a car loan. They're not going to let you go 6 months without paying on that Audi you're looking at. Just remember, just stay frosty. Just key in the numbers and do a reality check. I had more than a few people who came up with payments, home mortgage payments on the exam for this. They came up with home mortgage payments of like $30,000 and things like that. No, that's not a loan. I had a car loan. It was about 2 years ago. I had a car loan. This one young woman came up with a payment of like $4,000 a month. She comes in my office, wants to know what she did wrong. I said, well, didn't it kind of clue you in that a $4,000 a month car payment was a little high? She said, I don't know. My dad pays my car payment. Get out of my office. Go away. Leave me alone, you weirdo. You know, anyway. And I will have you calculate the effective yield on the loan. You'll find the effective yield on the loan. You're going to do a ratio analysis on a company. You're going to calculate some ratios or changes in ratios or changes in something. Like I might ask you, what was the change in sales year over year? Or what was the change in the return on equity? Something like that. Five of those, just like you saw on the exam. This exam, did I do the limit? It was the limited I did, right? Was that the company I did for this exam? For exam one, or what was it? For the first exam, what was the financial? What were the financials from? What company? Do you remember? I'm drawing a blank. I thought it was the limited. Maybe it wasn't. What was it? There's a reason why I'm asking. Huh? Yeah, limited. Yeah, the limited, what Les Wexner's deal. I'll use the same company for the final, okay? I'll use the same company. That way you're familiar with the notation. I do recognize that the wording on financial statements can throw you, so you've seen this company before. I'll also have you do a volatility analysis. In other words, you find your degree of operating, you find your different volatilities, the coefficients of variation down the line. I am then also, as another question, you will do the degrees of leverage like we did on the last exam, DOL, DFL, and DCL. You'll just do that again. Those are really, the worst ways you can make a mistake are to round too early and get your number whacked off, or you're going to put the wrong sign. Remember, degrees of leverage are times the units of measure are the little X afterwards. Don't put a percent, don't put a dollar sign. Do that right. That's part two. Yeah.
Can you say what's in the other
narrative? No. Nice try. It's worth trying, worth asking, but no, I'm not going to make it that easy for you. Well, you already know. I told you that it's the limited, so part of the narrative is going to be the same company, right? Limited brand, so. But it's kind of obvious. It's the marginal cost of capital question, of course, the financials and the ratio and the CVs, the volatility, sales volatility, business risk, contribution of operating leverage and financial leverage. You're obviously going to be having to do those. It won't be the same projections as it was on the second exam, but it'll be the same financials. Okay, here we go. Last part is going to be the essays. I give you 7 and you answer 5 on the final. And that gives you a chance to avoid, if you are in doubt, don't try to answer a question where there is a good chance that your answer could be ass. Okay? Seriously. Go for the ones that you know the best, that you know what I said, and you're going to be able to repeat it. But let me go, before I go to that, let me go back to part one and tell you, give you just some highlights. In part one, that's where I traditionally ask you to give me find a net present value and an internal rate of return in the multiple choice. I'll give you a cash flow layout on a project, how much it cost, how much came in for over the years, what the salvage value was. And then I'll give you a discount rate so you can find the NPV, and I'll give you and then I'll also ask you for an IRR in a separate question. I'm going to ask you about the relationship between risk and return in that section, in multiple choice, which statement is correct, kind of thing. I'm going to ask you about bond dynamics. If the coupon is above the yield, the bond sells it at a premium to par, a discount to par, that kind of thing. As interest rates rise, bonds that are outstanding tend to, well, what do they tend to do? If in an interest rate environment, if interest rates start to rise, what would probably start happening to bond prices? They would go what? Say it. Go down. Don't be shy. Just say it. If you're wrong, I'll say, God, you're an ass. No. You're right. They'll go down. So, of course, that's something that's an indicator about investments. If you think that the Fed's about to turn the corner and start jacking up interest rates, that would be a good time to get out of the bond market before you take a bath on bond prices going down. But that's something else. Okay. Something about, I'll obviously give you a component cost of capital, a formula. I'll say, what's this the formula for? Internally generated equity, externally generated equity, debt. What is this thing? What is this formula? Or it could be some part of the CAPM. Is this the CAPM? Is this the expected market premium over risk-free? What is this thing? Just show you part of a formula. Say, well, what do you call this? I'll ask you something about beta. Beta measures what? Beta measures what kind of risk? Total risk? Non-diversifiable risk of a security. Good. Very good. I'll ask you what causes different kinds of leverage. Well, what would cause operating? What would magnify operating leverage? What kind? Yeah, fixed costs or fixed operating costs, something like that, as opposed to interest, which creates financial leverage. Good. I'll ask you to find the yield on a T-bill. That was early stuff back in the early part of the course. You remember that? Find the price of it. Find the yield on a T-bill, 1-year T-bill. I'll ask you a question, and this was like from exam one. So to see if you know the difference between a bill, a note, and a bond, and who's the issuer, the seller, and who is the buyer, the purchaser. So if you lend me $100, that I have to pay you back when you're walking down the aisle at graduation. What are you in that transaction? No, you are lending me. Hell, I'm the professor. You're going to lend me money, for God's sake. Good. And what debt? No, what kind of debt? When are you going to walk in graduation? This year? I was going to say, not after this class you won't. No. No, it's going to be more than a year. So what if it's more than a year? Note. Yes, note. Good. You're the man. Okay. I might ask you something about ratios. Which one would be the largest? Current, acid, or burn? Which one would be the largest? Current, acid, or burn? Huh? Largest would be the current. Because with each of those in that list, you're taking out more of the numerator. The current ratio is all your current assets divided by all your current liabilities. The acid test is your current assets minus your inventory, so there's a smaller numerator. The burn is you're taking out all of your current assets except the cash in the bank. Okay? Ask you something about interest rates. I'm going to go a couple of different rounds on the structure of an interest rate. As far as the risk-free rate goes, what is in the risk-free rate? Default premium, is that in the risk-free rate? Talk to me. Is it? No, it's not. That's right. It's not in the risk-free rate. In the risk-free rate is just the real rate of return and the expected inflation premium. The real rate of return plus the expected inflation premium. By the way, I'm going to give you a link. It's not required for anything, obviously. I'll give you a link to my latest article that I've published. It talks about inflation. I've got to remember to do that. I'll ask you some other things about ratios. Which one of these ratios would be the most bothersome to you? Something like that. I'll talk about cost. I'm going to ask you about cost. Like, for example, in finance, which would be the most important in finance? Accounting, historical, or opportunity? Opportunity cost would be the most important, because that's the cost of what you are giving up to do the project you're doing. Accounting costs are historical costs, except in a few very rare instances. I'll have you calculate a present value problem, just a straight up present value problem. I'll give you some cash flows and say, what's the present value of these cash flows? Ask you a couple of questions about the Federal Reserve, the structure of the Fed. Number of governors, number of voting members on the FOMC, the Federal Open Market Committee, things like that. Ask you about money, M1, M2, M3. Now, on the first exam, there was a pair of questions that showed graphs of open market operations. Okay, I'm going to do that question again. It didn't have a horrible, but it didn't have a spectacular hit rate, so I promise you it'll be on the exam. The answers will be jumbled from what they were. I'm going to ask you that again. Make sure you know how to do that. Okay, any questions on part one you have? I've given you pretty thorough on it. Yeah. A note card. One note card front and back. You'll turn that in at the end of the final. Everything is turned in at the end of the final. Huh? No. You know what? You know what I might let you do? You can bring Phineas. My cat. He'll come and help you. Okay, here we go. Essays. Some of them you will have seen. Some of them you will, there'll be variations on themes. A couple of them would be new things that I hadn't asked you before, but they're straight up from lectures. Let me give you some examples. What is meant by the statement, shareholders have the residual claim on cash flows of the corporation? Again, what is meant by the statement, shareholders have residual claim on the cash flows of the corporation? What are the three tools of monetary policy available to the Fed? What are the three tools of monetary policy available to the Fed? What are the three duties of the Federal Reserve System? What are the three duties of the Federal Reserve System? Make sure you know the difference. Those two are different questions. And I noticed on the first exam, some people got the duties and the tools ideas completely crossed. Make sure that you've got those two separate. What is money and what are the three types? What is money and what are the three types? Question, what does distinguish between diversifiable and non-diversifiable risk? Distinguish between diversifiable and non-diversifiable risk. I might frame the question alternately as, what is the difference between non-systematic and systematic risk? What is the difference between non-systematic and systematic risk? I could do it either way. What does it mean for a corporation to go public? What is the relationship between net present value and internal rate of return? What is the relationship between net present value and internal rate of return? How does the difference between coupon of a bond and yield to maturity affect the price of the bond? How does the difference between the coupon rate and the yield to maturity affect the price of a bond? Distinguish the claim of a debt holder from an equity holder on the cash flows of a corporation. Distinguish the claim of a debt holder from an equity holder in terms of cash flow of a corporation, cash flows of a corporation. What is meant by optimal capital structure? What is meant by optimal capital structure? What is the relationship between risk and return? Watch it with that question. It's deceptive. Don't just say the greater the risk, the greater the expected return. Don't just say the greater the risk, the greater the return. It's the greater the risk, the greater the non-diversifiable risk, the greater the expected return. Okay? Don't just say the greater the risk, the greater the return. It's the greater the non-diversifiable risk, the greater the expected return. That's enough for you. Now, I might have missed one or two that I'll ask, but that's pretty thorough. Go. Oh, yeah, bring that formula sheet. Okay, is that still available on ReggieNet? Is it? Okay, yeah, that you're allowed to bring, please. And batteries for your calculator, for God's sake. Any other questions? Now, fill out this student evaluation. Do it for me. Unless you're going to say I suck, and then, you know, don't. But I need two people. You are going to do this, and so are you. You are going to hand these out and collect them. That's all I have for you today and forever. I thank you.